Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I can't let you read it because I've taken too much time, but you're going to get this word. Exodus 14. Here's what we're going to learn. This is a story that in Christianity is extremely famous. It's about a man named Moses who thought very little of himself, raised to be king, son, found himself in God's calling, which took him from the palace to the backside of a desert. We find our text speaking about a people that seemed to be forgotten by God because they were in a state of slavery. They had been in slavery 430 years. This slavery was the miserable type. It wasn't the type of indentured servitude where there was some dignity to it. There was a way to buy yourself out. There was a certain amount of work that you can do and that you would become a functioning citizen one day. No, this is the type of oppressive slavery. The time that takes away your human right, human dignity, and the only reason that you are kept alive is so you can serve the purpose of another human being. You are disposable. But there was a scripture given to Abraham, or a word given to Abraham by God, that he said, when I raise you up as a people, there will come a time when something will happen and you guys will go into captivity. There'll come a time where you're enslaved. He said, and I don't want you to think that I would ever let your story end that way. There's something that's going to happen inside those people who are enslaved that I'm going to respond to. They're actually going to cry out to me. And when they cry out to me, I'm going to remember what I said about them, and I'm going to deliver them. By the way, if you had no intention on being here Wednesday night, change your plans. You need to be here on Wednesday night. I'm going to deal specifically with your call and your identity and that which is coming against your call and your identity, and I'm going to call you up to a higher place so that you can fight the enemy that's trying to steal from you who you are, because not knowing who you are causes you to wander and be lost, and I'm going to end that lack of clarity on Wednesday night. So come, there's an anointing to break you through on Wednesday night. Back to our story. Psalm 77 says of this people group, not just as God sent 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptian people, the leader in wickedness toward God's people, the plagues were designed to get Pharaoh to recognize you can't fight against God, and to get Israel to recognize if God before you. Sorry. Who can be against you? And if God is fighting your battles, then it's not worth your enemy showing up for the fight. We find the three things we'll focus on, that you have to be called to a path. And when you're called to a path of deliverance, or to a purpose, or to an end. They were called to leave Egypt and go to Sinai to worship. In our church context, the first thing God has called us to is to corporate worship. Being on the path is corporate worship. The next thing is being in life group community. He calls you on a path, and when you get interrupted by an adversary, you can either get knocked off course and say, I was just predisposed to weakness, or you can do something that I feel like the church has forgotten to do, and that is to get a prayer position of humility and humiliation. Declare within yourself that you are powerless and he is powerful, and cry out with a loud voice, God, I need your help, and find out that he'll respond by remembering what he said to you and coming and fighting for you. That's point two, cry out on the path. It's funny that we might actually endeavor to have emotional responses that cause us to cry out because of our own fear. But that doesn't mean that we're convinced that God loves us, cares for us, and wants to do a profound, lasting work on the inside of us. It just means that the circumstances have dictated that you got to cry out because there's so much pain. But that doesn't mean you're convinced about what he wants to do in you. And the last thing he does on the path is convince you. So he calls you out on the path. You cry out when you're on the path when the enemy pursues you. And then he convinces you about his love and his word towards you when you're on the path. And you and him become united in a way that closes the door on the enemy's plan in your life. How long? Forever. The revelation of this ends an assignment, ends a generational curse, ends a repetitive sin and iniquity problem. It ends the scheme and the power that comes from the demonic scheme. Don't you want it to just end? Aren't you tired of beating it for a week, then beating it for a month, then beating it for a year, and then it comes back the same attitude? The same anger, the same lust, the same things that are initiated through the Egyptian enslavement. Psalm 77, I just got to quote it, just to put it in context so you can get this little break out of this intro. Here's what it says. Your path led you through the sea. Didn't say it led you to the sea. Didn't say it led you around the sea. Didn't say it led you to get on a boat and ride on top of the sea. Didn't say get a submarine and go under through the sea. Underneath. It said you're going through it. And here's how he describes it. The way of the path is through mighty waters. It's not as if he had a little bubbling brook. Or you had something that could be surmounted through your human ingenuity or your human strength. But these Egyptians could not handle the Red Sea flood that was coming to wipe out their enemy that was following them once God released them from slavery. No. And here is the most, if I could just get on the knee and I could just hold your hand and look you in the eye and give you comfort from what I'm about to read. Here's this next verse. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses. How many times have you and I perceived God was not there, but he was leading you? So let's put God on trial for a moment. We know who Moses is. We know who Pharaoh is. We know that Pharaoh enslaved the people 400 years. We know that God sent 10 plagues. The last plague was the firstborn would die. We know that he finally let the people go to Sinai to worship, and he told them to leave, and they took possessions and everything. It was about 2 million of them. And they were called out on that path. We know all of these things. But sometimes when we sat out on a path with a lot of unknowns, we start to wonder if God knows what he's doing. Because we're leaving the city for the desert. We're leaving one thing for another. And here's what happens. Verse 1 tells you something that's critical to know about the character of God. And you're going to be shocked about what I'm about to show you. He said, tell the Israelites that I've got going to Etham, which is a walled city. Tell them, as chapter 13 says, they're on their way to a dead end. Tell them that I said, verse 1, let's read it. And then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp at Pi-Haroth between Midal and the sea, and encamp there directly opposite Bel Zaphon. You glad I didn't make you read that now? wait a minute. God frees me, then tells me to run into a walled off place, to come back to Piph-Hahiroth, a marshy place, right across from a fortified mountain range, just Pharaoh's outlook. He done set me up to fail. He delivers me and he blesses me and then he sets me up. This is how we feel about our Lord. We are high on his blessings one day, and why in the middle of deliverance, when he starts taking directions or gravitating toward perspectives or telling you to do things where it's going to be hard or confusing or walled off, you start saying, this couldn't be the Lord telling me to stay in my marriage. It couldn't be the Lord telling me to stay in a job. It couldn't be the Lord telling me to take the lesser position, because that doesn't make sense. You're running me into a trap. Then he said, I not only ran you in it, now I want you to turn around and retrace your steps and go right back. Now, you don't want to say it out loud because the fear of the Lord, but you want to say, Lord is confused. But he called them out on a path that took a journey. Put my picture up there. That took a journey where you start out. Look at the little, you can't even see the little red thing. In my mind, this is going to be a whole lot better. You could just see them coming and the arrow. Yeah, you can't see nothing from that. Because I don't know what to tell you to look at. Let's move from that slide. It was good slide. It's just I didn't do good with it. The point is, he drove them into a place that was walled. And what you begin in your mind is, God on purpose has set me on a path, and he knows, he has to know it doesn't make sense. Have you ever been in that place? I just got delivered from drinking, but he giving me a ministry to the drunks. See, he got to do different math. Okay. Then he says, if you go on in that text, he says, Pharaoh, the fight promoter in God, here's his statement in verse 3, he said, Pharaoh's going to think they lost. Wait a minute, the person who's been beating you, making you work, make bricks without straw, the enemy that's been defeating you, when he sees you walking in this circle, he gonna think I left you. He gonna think you're not protected. He gonna think something went wrong. He gonna think you're now prey. He gonna think about what he can get. And I'm gonna get him to follow you, and I'm gonna take his heart that's already against me, and I'm gonna use it against him, that hard heart, I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna cause him to come after you. But when he comes after you, he's not gonna realize that the reason all the negative things have happened to him is because I'm responding to a cry about the word I gave. There is a word over your life that God has responded to, that if your enemy takes the bait and comes after you, you the first time he came after you, you left with all his money, his cattle, his gold, and you left his service. If he come after you this time, he'll lose his life. But God said, I told him to come. And this is what their response was, verse 10. Verse 10 said, and Pharaoh approached the Israelites. He looked up. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching at him, 600 chariots, 100,000 men against 2.3 million people. Now, if you just do the math of, the chariots can take a lot of people out. But 2 million people could just rush you. Like, just to train you, I'm going to time out, just train you real quick. We did active shooter training in our church, just in case somebody ever came in with a weapon. It's never happened, but all churches should do it. We did that for the trainers. And the man said to me when he trained us that what you should do is just lay down on the ground and then somebody will take them out. And I said, what normally happens to people who run or lay down? Well, some people going to get shot and die, but, you know, but eventually, I said, let me tell you what we going to do. This is public. Somebody act crazy in here, all of us going to get up as one man with one voice and one objective. You came to do us evil, and we're going to come like David came to Goliath. We're going to come at you in the name of the Lord. We don't back up from nothing. Now, that doesn't dismiss the protocol, and there is protocol, but my point is there's 2 million of them. And fear is gripping them. But they have power. But when fear grips you, you no longer see how much power you have. When fear grips you, the strongest person becomes the weakest person. And I'm telling you, their response was fear. But look what the rest of the verse said. They were terrified, they were fearful, but they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. The Bible says that God will hear the cry of the righteous. God will hear the cry of the humble. If you do not regard iniquity in your heart, God will not only hear you, he will rescue you and give you victory. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer your call by showing you great and mighty things which you do not know. I'm telling you, church, that there's benefits when your enemy comes against you one way. The scripture says he'll flee from you seven ways, all because you just stood up and cried out to the Lord. When you call on the Lord, it's like calling big brother. Okay, I got it like this. You know, I was the guy in my school and just growing up who was like the big, I'm small, but I was big growing up. And when you're a big guy, you're there to defend the little guy. And so if you have some smaller friends, they know that you're going to show up to fight for them. What they tend to do is have confidence about how they talk to other people because they don't have to fight. You're going to fight for them. Oh, what you say? Huh? Huh? Oh, you want to fight us? No, they won't fight you. You want to fight us? Say something else. J-Lo, get him. Wait, hold on. See? See, that guy can't fight, but he's not afraid because the person backing him up could always fight. That's my major sin. I can come into play quick. If you hear me fall, if you hear something on the news, and it's like, you know, just say he'll tell us when he get out what happened. Listen. When you got a friend that can fight, and they have a covenant with you that no matter what trouble you get in, you can consider it my trouble because we like blood, and if you mess with my blood, you mess with me, and I'm going to show up and fight you. And when you cry out to God, it's like calling your blood father, your blood brother, who's big enough to handle everything that's going on. And when you say, hey, daddy, they acting crazy. You know what he says? I don't have time. I want to tell you the scripture. Let me tell you what he says. He said, hey, guys, these Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. The only thing I require is that you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because you trusted me by calling on me, because you believed in me by calling on me, because you stepped out on the path and started walking on the path. And when you were called on the path, it caused your enemy to pursue you, but you cried out to me. I'm going to show up and convince you that I'm with you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, I'm going to mess with Pharaoh. So Pharaoh comes, they see it, they're terrified, and God, who was leading them in this path, he was leading the army through a fire and through a pillar. He was leading them. He moved from the front, the scripture says, and the fire and the cloud moved to the back. And he separated the army of Pharaoh from the children of Israel. The scripture says that the cloud was so fierce that to Pharaoh it was darkness, but to Israel it was light. God has the ability to bring turbulence upon your adversary while bringing blessing upon you. And he said, I'm not done, Israel, because you thought I was doing a partial deliverance. Here's what partial deliverance looks like. I've got saved, but I'm still not healed. I got healed, but I'm still not delivered. I got delivered, but I don't prosper. See, sozo or salvation is all-encompassing. It's not one thing. It is a multiplicity of things. They have been delivered from a whole lot of stuff. But God said, hold on, I got more salvation for you. Just watch this, what I'm doing right now. He says, and the reason I'm doing it is because I'm going to get glory from what Pharaoh is trying to do to you. Don't you understand? You have never been in a losing position. You are not losers. The fact that you call his name, the fact that you know who he is, the fact that you love him, he loves you back with an everlasting love, the fact that God is for you, no one can be against you. You are the more than conquerors. You have a word that prevents the enemy from conquering you. So Pharaoh has to wait. God sends a wind and moves the mighty water to prove to you and me, listen to me clearly, because I'm coming against that scheme that told you something like you're stuck. You are never stuck. I'm going to say it again till you believe it. You, because you know him and he loves you, and you have a covenant with him, you are never stuck. There's always a wind that'll blow the wave that's in your way out the way. And you may not see him like Psalm 77 said. You may not see his footprints, but he's walking before you. He's walking behind you, and he got you in his arms, and he's carrying you through. You are just, you know how I define you? You're just a winner. And I know the enemy told you you was a loser as early as this morning. I know your weaknesses have overcome you and your brain is just beating like, I can't do nothing right. But you forgot that God had you in his everlasting arms and he's carrying you through the storms of your life. You're not a loser. He's trying to convince you on the path. And he takes them and he says, I don't want y'all to run across. 2 million people running, that could be chaos. Take your time. I got it. The Bible said they walked across. They didn't run across like, we gotta hurry up because he'll get us. The Bible says they walked across, not on muddy ground, not on a foot of water, but on dry ground with good footing. A lot of times when we think about the path, we think about how rough the journey would be. we fail to think how convenient God wanted their journey to be. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They always had water. They always had food. The sun never scorched them by day. They were never cold by night. He was always providing them. And then he wasn't anxious. We're going to get there. Nothing can stop us. Just walk on across. And when you get across, I'm gonna let you turn around so you can finish doing what I told you to do, which is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now turn around. Now put my little visual up there for this generation that never seen Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. Bryson told me he never saw the Ten Commandments before. I'm old, Bryson. Pastor Bryson. God did that. Look at him running. Calm down. Just walk. Nah, he's over. He put it back. Another version showed the chariots coming and God washing them away. How did he wash them away? The Bible said that Pharaoh saw them walk. After they got across, he saw, oh, I'm going to chase them. Now, just listen to me now. Why? After 10 plagues. Why? If you saw darkness and then it moved out of the way and you saw the waters that had to be 100 meters high or more in a channel and you saw the people on the other side, why? Why would you just run into that trap? You know, something in me, my spidey sense would say, and I'd just be like, no, not today. I'm going to live. I may be wicked, but I'm smart. Spidey sense let him down. And my man said, come on, let's go get him. And here's what the scripture says. And the Lord jammed their chariot wheels. It didn't say a rock. It didn't say there was faulty equipment. The scripture is being clear that it was God who brought about the deliverance. He jammed the wheels. And when they said, this is a trap. The Lord, they said, this is what they said. The Lord is with them. This is a trap. Let's go back. It was too late. God let the water come in. And here's what he said. Not one, this is the scripture, is very clear, not one of them survived. And why did they pursue him? The Bible says, had they known God's plan, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. You see, we we give our enemy too much credit. He's formidable, but I can humbly say he's not as smart as you and I, because he fought against God. And that's always a losing battle. And that sin pattern in him just repeats itself. Because he doesn't have the Lord of glory to fight that sin off of him. Like we do. They became so convinced. Look at the last verse. Verse 31. It said this. And then you can stand to your feet. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Finally, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and apart from evil is understanding. It's something about the life you can have once you dismiss your adversary. And I'm telling you, Bethel World Outreach Church, in the most non-emotional, sober way I can, that my assignment through this message was to convince you that the Egyptian or the enemy or the scheme or the sin or the iniquity you see today, you'll see no more forever, saith the Lord. Stand to your feet. Ministry team, come down. Now, earlier I walked myself down to the altar because I said I wasn't preaching to nobody but myself. I want victory. I can't make you not be religious. I can't make you actually deal with your soul issues. I can't make you. But I can beg you that God wants to do a miracle in you. And the thing is, sometimes you have to take a step of faith. You have to move out of your circumstances. You moving out is a form that I'm going to cry out to God. I'm not trusting in my human power. I'm not trusting in my ingenuity, my smarts. I'm not trusting in my neighbor. I'm not trusting in my finance. Finance, all that stuff will flee. All the stuff, I trust in who we are as America. Oh, look, I trust in our morale. Stop trusting in anything but him. And today, there's a breakthrough like you've never known available to you today. Thrust yourself into the next dimension in God. And you got it. It's almost like I saw it prophetically, like this first service. You guys marching toward the path that God wants you on. In just a moment, I'm going to begin to pray. And I want you from all over this room to begin to come. And when you're coming to the Lord, you do it with haste. You do it with haste. And you're making a declaration, I'm free.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.